Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It really is not connected with winning whatsoever. There's like proof from people that do the business of baseball and the economics of the sport that the Astros were actually more profitable the years where they were losing 110 games a season than they were the years they were winning the World Series. So when you have that in effect and there's no like impetus or no reason for Major League Baseball to go to a team like the Pirates or the Marlins or any of these teams that really don't spend and say, do this or else. Because it's not, they don't look at it like it's going to really help the overall health of the game whatsoever.
If these teams were publicly owned, Pony, some of the ones you say like the Astros who turned a profit greater when they were losing a ton of games, and there was the whole idea that they owed it to their shareholders to try to bring back maximum value, right? I could understand it, but aren't teams to some extent supposed to be the playthings of the ultra-rich? Like, you're supposed to do what Steve Cohen's doing. Just spend money willy-nilly because that you want to win. Like, and it's an accounting error for him. No matter, we're all laughing like, oh my God, Juan Soto got $750 million.
Yeah.
Steve Cohen's going to make that much money this year. Like, I think people's minds get out of whack with that, and you realize like even the people that are undercapitalized compared to Steve Cohen have a ton of money. This might surprise you. When I do my blame chop up here, I put the blame on Major League Baseball first. I do not put it on the Pirates / Bob Nutting or anybody else. If Major League Baseball had a problem with how teams were being run from the financial perspective, i.e., like this is a black mark for the league that payrolls are so low in certain places, not just Pittsburgh. I feel like Rob Manfred has ways that he could compel behind the scenes those owners to start putting money towards free agent players, or else he would make their lives miserable. But I think Major League Baseball is very much fine with how the Pirates and several other small market shops are run. And as long as every so often one of those teams goes on a run and makes it reasonably deep into the playoffs, baseball can point to its system and say, see, this works fine. Here are the Royals winning the 2015 World Series. Here are the Royals making it last year.
Here's the Guardians going to the
ALCS. Here
are
the Guardians. They made it to the ALCS.
Here's the Rays that, if not for a pitching decision by a manager, might
probably
have won
win
a
it
World
all.
Series.
Yeah, like I think baseball is the greater villain here, specifically the commissioner's office, because I don't think Rob Manfred has any issue with this. I really don't.
I'm not trying to run cover for the owner here, who's obviously reviled, and there were chants at Pirate Fest over the weekend, and Travis Williams, the president of the team, said that he's not selling the team. He said that in no uncertain terms, so it's not like fans can keep their fingers crossed and hope that someone's going to come in on a white horse and save the team. There's no Mark Cuban. There's no Thomas Tall. There's nobody here that is going to be the rescue steward for this team. 90%, if not more, of the venom and disdain and disgust that fans have here is directed at the owner. And I hear very little directed at the commissioner and at the sport or the league in general.
I feel like the commissioner part, though, is abstract. Like, easier to direct.
He's a puppet for them. So he's like the personification of what I'm talking about. He's like the symbol of what I mean.
I know. I think people view that part of it in the abstract for the most part. They still just look one-to-one and say, like, why isn't the owner spending more? But, like, I think the idea that I tried to articulate is just not one that gets considered a lot.
They've created a league, and they've fostered an environment, and they've allowed for it, where teams can do this.
I mean, do you think it's any coincidence that Oakland finally gets out of Oakland and goes to Sacramento, and even though they're going to be playing in a joke of a minor league stadium, they're suddenly spending? I feel like that's not coincidental.
The payroll jumped up when the Pirates opened PNC Park and they went out. They didn't make, like, gigantic splashy moves, but they were way more active than they ever were.
I guess my point here is very simple. They got what they wanted, baseball and the A's owner, Fisher. And so I don't think it's coincidental that maybe Fisher on his own was just happier to spend some of the money he had, and that Manfred might have nudged him and said, hey, you're going to go.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Like, Manfred might have nudged him behind the scenes and said, hey, you're
like
getting
a quid pro quo.
Yeah, you're getting what we want and what you wanted. You're eventually going to play in Vegas. You have the money. We know you have the money. Time to start spending.
You got
to
drum up interest and drum
Here's
up support
Luis Severino.
In this team.
Like, yeah, here are some players that are going to get people a little bit excited
yeah,
here.
Yeah, now that you're going to a destination like Vegas, you got to act like you care about what the product looks like.
I think that is a very real possibility. Do you find that to be completely, like, out of left field as an idea goes? Because I don't.
No, I don't. I don't feel like there's ever been any pressure whatsoever put on the Pirates by Major League Baseball to be more active in free agency or trade markets or anything
like
that.
The only time baseball ever stepped in to do anything to or against the Pirates was when the Josh Bell thing happened. And then a bunch of big market owners like John Henry in Boston were very pissed off that the Pirates were circumventing the system in a way I lauded them for, because I thought, okay, yep, like, this is what you're going to do, good strategy. And suddenly you have capped draft class pools.
I mean, none of that is to say that they shouldn't still sign a free agent to a multi-year deal. But when I think about it, even if they did, like, Santander was the guy that, mm-hmm, I think when he signed last night with Toronto, like, not that I think many Pirates fans were hopeful, but he was the last guy that played a position that made sense for the Pirates to invest a significant amount of money in that player to come here.
Because he was the kind of player that has what they so right. often lack, which is power.
Power, and he plays right field.
Mm-hmm.
So, when that happened, Donnie Woody get $95 million from Toronto.
Over how many years?
Four. Dude, I thought it was 90.
So we got 90 over how long? Do we know? Look that up. Because right now, the projected payroll for the Pirates is $79 million. Okay? With the Scott signing by the Dodgers last night and the Yates signing two closers today, or setup men, closers and setup men. Bob Nightingale of USA Today projects their payroll at $380 million for this year. You have the number for Santander?
5 years, 92.5.
So about $18.5 million.
So,
a little more than.
So add that in. That still gets them under $100 million. That still has the Dodgers at close to $400 million. So even if we were to get that great, like, manna from heaven, ray of sunshine, ray of hope move.
Mm-hmm. So you're still saying it's like a drop in the bucket.
There's still a $300 million gap between the two teams. They've still created a system that allows for that amount of difference between two teams. Could you imagine if that were acceptable in the NFL?
Steelers would never compete.
But I'm just saying, like, a team like the... Let's say the team like the, you know, the Cowboys had a $300 million
wasn't
payroll.
Wasn't 2011 that one uncapped year where it actually happened? But I don't think any team...
No, it didn't really end up... I thought the CBA got done right before the season started.
I could have swore we had something resembling an uncapped year. But yeah, I mean... Well, the NFL's product is also easier to make into a true national product with national television deals and true, like, parity.
Right, that's why... That's why my opinion is... Baseball has no real incentive to to help and lift teams like the Pirates up because they don't think it's good for their bottom
line. The truth of the matter is what happened this year, Dodgers, Yankees, if baseball could guarantee that every year in the World Series, they would take it.
Yes.
Or Dodgers, Mets, yes. I guess, technically.
Whoever was the first to coin it is right. The Pirates merely exist for teams like the Dodgers and Cubs to fill out their schedule.
I mean, I guess it's just...
they exist to be the Washington Generals of Major League Baseball to those teams.
Yeah,
and once in a while, David slays Goliath, and there's an underdog, and there's a little Cinderella story.
Would it even matter, though, if we went 10 years without a single Cinderella story and it was just big market titans every time?
No, because they'd be rolling in the money, and guess what? Those small market owners...
they would also be getting
revenue sharing. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I guess, like, I'm just pointing this out. This isn't like an opinion. I think it lays bare the cynicism of the whole thing. Like, you're supposed to believe on some level that pro sports, that everybody involved wants to win. And it is very clear in baseball, more than in any other sport, that that is not actually the case. It's easier to make an argument for, like, that Art Rooney doesn't understand right now or is out of touch with what it takes to win, or that the Penguins' new ownership group is trying to hold on to past glories that they weren't part of to sell tickets, like maybe a little bit cynical. Baseball's the only league, I think, where you can look at it and say there might be 12 to 14 owners every year who just genuinely don't have a real interest in winning. It's an annuity. And there are probably 7 or 8 teams that I would say genuinely want to win, and then, what, another 10 that are just like, whatever happens, happens?
Well, when you say generally want to win, I think what you mean is they're going to do things, like they're going to take financial risks in order to win. Like, I think even the owner here wants to win, but ideally they want it done in the way that players get developed. They do it like the A's and Rays
do.
So
only on their terms.
They're good. You develop them. You trade them for new young guys. They come in here. They're good.
That's a hamster wheel.
Yes.
That's a hamster wheel. What do fans have to seize onto? Like, to the extent that teams are supposed to be a source of civic pride and almost a public trust in some ways, that the ideal is that they're run that way. Cohen's running the Mets like that. What do people in markets like Pittsburgh have to hold on to? Hey, guess what? We signed Andrew McCutchen. We had our best 3-year run with him as the centerpiece. He went elsewhere, but isn't this great? He liked it so much here, he wanted to finish his career here. Like, in the end, what a cold comfort that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $4.99 per pound. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Exclusive digital deal of the week. Lucerne shredded, sliced, or chunk cheese, 6.84 to 8 ounce varieties, $1.97 each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
That is, man.
Tweet from Donnie at this time yesterday got people buzzing.
You look at him like a proud papa when he does something like that and you see the big numbers go up. You have to.
He knew that Hiles' take that the Pirates were not going to sign a free agent to a multi-year deal was going to get the masses fired up. Did it piss you off when he said it?
Immediate emotional response from you.
Are you just numb to it now, or are you still capable of getting upset when you hear things like this?
No, I mean, it's still annoying when you hear that because you're a fan of the team and you're thinking they have this
window.
Yeah, you know, they have this finite amount of time where they have a golden ticket of a starting pitcher and then a pretty good staff, or at least the build of a pretty good pitching staff behind them. And you think, man, if they add really just one or two guys that are notable, then it can do it wonders for what they're working with. I mean, plus they're in a division that I still think, even though Milwaukee has recently exceeded expectations, they're in a division that they can absolutely win and compete in. And, so, we're going to forge ahead with what we have and just hope that all these players are better.
Let me just say that it does pain me that we're forced to have a baseball conversation on January 21st, because it means that things have gone terribly wrong with our NFL team, and the hockey team isn't able to carry the mail right now either. So we're already having these.
Shouldn't you be used to this by now?
What?
How many years are we going on here where both of those things were essentially true?
A few years, but the thing about the Steelers that is just mind-boggling is 10 days ago they lost and we haven't gotten a single friggin' move. No coach shown the door, nothing. I mean, it's just they're
just waiting to hit the rest of the NFL with shock and awe. By the way, Pony, really quick here to Donnie's, like you asked Donnie about like how he's feeling, like the numb to it.
Yep. Comfortably numb is what Pink Floyd said.
It's the most cynical and numb I've felt, only for this reason. When they had McCutcheon, he was close to one of the best players in baseball, but he wasn't like Trout or anything. And they've never in my lifetime had what I consider to be the best pitcher in the sport. I think they do now. Yep. Scooble's like probably the only guy that I would even think about taking like in a one-for-one over Skeens.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't, but I'm saying he's the only guy that feels he's on Skeens' level for dominance. Point is, I think Skeens the best pitcher in baseball. Like, the scope of what it appears they are willing to just ignore in what they have here with him is the thing that gets me. The best pitcher, the most precious commodity in the sport that people are willing to pay out the nose for in free agency, you've got it, the golden ticket, the true golden ticket, and you are just sitting on your hands. If I hear the phrase, we have a lot of plans for internal improvement for a lot of our guys, again, I'm going to scream, man.
Well, you're going to be screaming a lot because Ben Cherington will say that repeatedly we get to the Ben Cherington show back on the air and all the spring training stuff happens. Here is the dilemma, or here's the hypothetical that I pointed out before we went on the air. Sometimes the conversations we have before shows should be broadcast out because I think they're really entertaining and interesting and people would like them. I also think we probably get in a lot of trouble sometimes if those things saw the light of day. But we heard some of Starkey's show and I walked in here and said, here's my, not internal crisis, but here's the thing that I'm dealing with the Pirates. And this adds to, you know, some of the anger and animosity that exists about them right now. I don't think they're that far off. And I don't think it's unreasonable to think that they can go from 76 wins to 80-something wins this year with their pitching staff coming together, being the foundation for the team. O'Neill Cruz plays better. Like, they don't just blow games like they did late last year. Skeens talked about that at Pirate Fest. I do think that there's a world out there where they win 85 or 86 games next year with this roster. And if that happens, how are people going to react to that? Is all forgiven if they are in August and September and they're in first place and they're doing it with a $79 million payroll? How is that going to sit with people? Does it matter how much you pay for players if your team is really good or good enough to get back to the playoffs? I don't think so. Like, I would have to, I wouldn't apologize, but I'd have to say, all right, Charrington was correct. Like, the internal improvements did come through. They did have the pieces in that clubhouse to become a winning team. They didn't need to augment it with outside help.
I would give him credit, more credit than I have, and I thought he should have lost his job after last year. I would look at him and say he and the people who developed these players deserve an apology from me. I wouldn't feel great about it because to me it would be from the top down a validation of their strategy, which I don't want to see that strategy for them or other teams, frankly, that financial strategy validated.
But it's worked for other teams. The Orioles have done it. I mean, it's worked for teams that drafted at the top with young players.
I would say I praise those GMs. I don't really feel like the owners of those teams deserve praise. I think the GMs and the player development staffs do.
I'm not even saying that it has to be like a referendum on the owner. I'm just talking about your ability to get behind and root and cheer for and get down with a team that does it that way. Because I feel like there's such hard feelings now with fans over how much money is spent to construct the team that unless they, you know, while it's happening, in July, in August, even in September, until they actually do it, I think people are going to want to reserve their right to get on board or get on the bandwagon because they feel like a team, you get what you pay for. They feel like a team that is spending 27th, 28th, 29th in payroll should not and will not win the division or make the playoffs. And obviously there's also like scar tissue from not just past off seasons, but the past two seasons where fans got excited about the team and then they fell apart both times.
I think what happened in 16 and 17.
Sure. I mean, there's there.
Makes it very difficult
for
me. Makes it really difficult, if not impossible for me, to view any future competitive Pirates team through the same lens. Like, I think I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. In fact, I know I was those 3 years. I remember passionately defending the Jay Happ deal the day they did it and saying, this is going to be awesome. They're going to get him in the old Jimmy Benedict, Ray Searidge school of, you know, wayward pitchers. And he was great. And then everything that happened those next two or so years really just was a souring thing. It was. I feel like I'm speaking for a lot of people just as a guess, but that those 2 years were very damaging into how like non-kids viewed the franchise moving forward.
Because I think that some fans are even so cynical that let's say they come back this year and they shock people and they win. They go 86 and 76 and they win the division, right?
Okay.
Let's say they lose in the first round. I think there's a lot of people that would just look at that and say, well, imagine if they had spent the extra $20 or $30 million on players. Instead of losing in the first round, they would have went to the NLCS.
It's always an argument you can make.
You know?
Because you can imagine which players could they have had for this amount of money. And anybody that's committed to making that argument is going to have done their homework and looked at some players that would fit within those budgetary parameters that are playing well at positions they don't have filled.
Because I think a lot of that even went on. I know a lot of it went on because I heard it and probably felt some of it during 13, 14, and 15.
I mean, the big thing those years that I defended
them for. What if they had done
for,
more at the trade deadline? What if they had added a bigger name free agent between 13 and 14?
I remember defending them at the deadline because I would look back and say, go look at everybody else's deadline acquisitions. Who's did more stuff for them? Like Bird hits a home run or whatever. Didn't he hit two home runs?
But that wasn't even that wasn't a trade deadline move, though. They waited until September 1st to do that.
I think what I gave them the credit for was, yes, they didn't do it the way I wanted, but the moves they made, especially that one, paid off. And like they made, you know, Hap was the best pitcher not named Jake Arrieta in baseball from the time they acquired him onward.
Donnie, if they're in first place on August 15th, do you think you'll still be pissed at this team? Or is it just water under the bridge?
I mean, we've seen them be in first like halfway through the season or be over 500 and still have life as we've gotten into August. I mean, last season,
yeah,
they were buyers
all right, is
at
it
the
trade
deadline.
Is it water under the bridge the second they clinch a playoff spot?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, though, you just have to fully credit the players themselves and not the front office. The front office has done zero favors. You have to count on the players.
It's almost like Major League.
Yeah, it really is. You have to count on the players playing out of their minds, or at least a couple of guys that are playing way better than they ever should, and you credit those guys fully for getting to the point that they're at.
See, I think nationally, I think if this team made the playoffs this year, Cherington would probably win or come very close to winning Executive of the Year, and Shelton might win Manager of the Year. Those guys would get the credit. Did this on a shoestring budget?
I would give Shelton credit, but I mean, if they end
Spencer
up
Spencer Horwitz would have to be like a borderline MVP candidate.
I don't think so.
Their one acquisition.
No, I'm
would
saying
have
to
be
in
a
my opinion
player.
To
in
get
my
that award.
Opinion, yes, because if it's all guys they already had just getting better, I wouldn't give Cherington much credit. What did you do? You traded for Spencer Horwitz. Unless he throws up a 35 home run, 110 run batted in, 900 OPS season, get out of here with that.
I'm having a really hard time because I feel like I'm cautiously optimistic about the kind of team that they have this year. But the last few years are weighing on me and the fact that they haven't done anything. But I really think in this division, there's a realistic scenario where they win 84, 85 games. And the Brewers have gotten worse and the Cubs have gotten better. But it looks like the Cardinals are trying not to win. Like, they're now in full-on rebuild mode, which is crazy for them to be in that position. You're in the same boat as the Reds, I would say, although they have a better manager and a better track record. So that is something to take into account. Like, if the Pirates had signed Terry Francona to be their manager, even with no moves, I would be pretty pumped for the season.
Honestly, that would be a small move because I think baseball managers are mostly not relevant to winning. Like they are.
I'd be stoked
sports.
If I knew that he was going to be pulling the levers on this team.
Yeah, I would feel better. It would be something.
4:30 means it's time for a Donnie football debrief. Donnie's big football topic storyline out there. Piece of football nostalgia or something out there that piques his interest, you name it. And it starts right now, Donnie.
The debrief. January 21, 2025. A couple of things on the docket today. First, which I had to confirm earlier, I will be our picks champion for the 24-25 NFL season, so I don't have to have the fear of a shame bet, which is very important to me.
The one that I made you do, was that on TikTok? Because TikTok's...
And you made me put it on Twitter every day.
And TikTok's back.
Yes.
It was gone for a day. We were nervous that the Chinese and the Russians were using it to manipulate us. But then cooler heads prevailed and they figured out so many people were making money off it. And so many people were scrolling it while taking a dump or not being able to fall asleep or waiting.
You're talking about the current saga with TikTok, right?
Yes, yes.
I did find it very funny that people are like, they're surveilling us through this app, the Chinese or whatever, as if every time you say allow cookies or whatever, like Meta, X, Instagram.
The cookies are all over.
They're
you.
All, like well, every single person. Knows, why do you think your phone, when you like say something to your phone about like, I don't know, like I talk about like a golf swing trainer thing,
and then
right?
And see an ad for it.
My Gmail suddenly shows, oh, the stack system. Mulzy, you want to check out the stack system? No, I actually already bought it, and I just was
talking
about it.
Well, I told you guys, though, you got to keep your eyes on China.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
You think so?
I'm telling you. There's something to be said about that.
It's just the most vague statement. You could probably win a low-level political office, like county auditor or something. That's not a low level, but you know what I mean. You could win, like, a municipal government election. I think you just walk into there. What is it? Houston Township, where you live?
Yeah.
Just be
Chartiers Township, actually.
Chartiers Township. Just be like, I want to be the alderman. And then it's like, what's your campaign slogan? And you just, it's a picture of you winking and pointing. It says, you got to keep an eye on China.
Well,
it has
nothing
to do with your job. You could be.
But I do feel that way. It would not be me trying to go in there and gin up support. I would just say, guys, we really need to think long and hard about what's going on with them.
But you have not elaborated on that other than what's going on with them. You haven't told me like what specifically you want to monitor there. You just got to keep your eye on them.
You want to monitor everything like they're doing to us. Doesn't that make you... If they're monitoring us on everything, why are we not monitoring everything they're doing?
I honestly want to find out what is like the...
You guys over here don't look at China as a threat. That's fine. You guys are all entitled to your opinion. I've said this on the show and I'll say it again. You have to be careful about China.
I just would like to see you run for like Chartiers Township Constable. It's just a cheeseball.
Constable.
Yeah, just a cheeseball picture of him. Oh, sir, what platform are you running on? Hey, look at China. See me? It's me with binoculars, Andrew Filipponi. I'm keeping my eye on China.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super worried either because we're entering the golden age of America. That's what I was told yesterday.
Well, maybe we've got plans now at the top
and China
to keep
will be
China
taken
at
care
arm's
of.
Length. All right, so...
Harlan Schober, the vice chairman of Chartiers Township. Proud parents of 4 children and 12 grandchildren? Hey, Harlan, Pony's coming for you because I don't see an eye on China right there, my friend.
Well, I don't think that's really... I'm fine. What's his name? Harlan?
Harlan Schober.
Not Kevin.
I'm fine with him.
This Frank Wise got like a Fu Manchu mustache. Keep an eye on him.
He should not... As they say, that's above his pay grade. His job in government is not really related to China.
But I think we should play a game where we just start naming countries and we find out, does Pony want us to keep an eye on them?
But for example, if Fetterman were in here with us in his hoodie and shorts, I would ask him, I'd say, what's your take on China right now, John?
And the first sentence he would say is, you know, we really got to keep our eye on them.
I think he agrees with me.
And you'd be like, that's what I'm saying.
What if he just said something like, oh, forget about China. I support fracking. That would be the first sentence.
And he said the Eagles are better than the Eagles next. All right, so what's the other thing you got done?
Well, Malzy, we saw this the other day before the game between the Bills and the Ravens, and it was a tweet from our pal, Pony.
Okay.
Greetings from Orchard Park. Volunteered to get body slammed through a table. Dad will videotape it. We'll post shortly.
Yeah. Horrible
service.
We've never
seen that footage.
Horrible service around
Orchard Park.
The stadium there.
Did you or did you not get body slammed through a table? Yes or no?
Answer's no.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that.
Answer's no. It didn't happen.
Do you know what the Fifth Amendment actually protects you? Gives
against
you the
incrimination.
Right to do? Self-incrimination.
I'm just saying it was horrible service. So I think...
You said, I'm getting no bars out here. It's not worth getting put through this table.
Well, it wasn't going to load.
Well, so wait a minute. You sat
could just
at the club
it
level,
right now.
Thanks to your generous friend Ticket Nick. Why wouldn't you just take the video?
Yeah.
Wait till you get into the club level.
Yeah.
Post the video.
No, because I couldn't even get video out in there. I could get tweets out. I could
why
get words.
Why wouldn't you post the video right here, right now, where we're logged into company Wi-Fi?
Because it's days later. It was only going to get a pop if people saw it the night or the day of the game.
No, like most of your tweets, I think it would get a pretty big pop if you got leg dropped through a table on video and then posted it right now.
Well, the idea was for me to jump off a small RV onto a table like Macho Man Randy Savage style.
Elbow drop it.
Yeah.
Now, do they usually put those tables over little snowbanks so you have a soft
landing? No, it was on ground. It was on hard ground, level ground.
But you didn't do it.
I didn't end up doing it because I didn't think I'd be able to get it out.
Now the one guy, when we do the keep your eye on China thing, has popped in again to implore me and you, Donnie, that we must, in fact, keep our eye on China.
Yeah, they were taking away the service in Orchard Park.
That person's Twitter handle is @drunkenpittsburgh.
Agrees with me?
Oh, yeah, big time.
You guys just poo-poo it.
I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm merely pointing out that I think everybody knows everything about
us. I'm not trying to be evasive on why the video of me getting body slammed through the table didn't go out, but you guys seem to not want to talk about China.
We do have a news talk station you could go on and pontificate.
Donnie brought up the social media, the shame bet, which turned into him TikToking things. Are you guys in cahoots with China?
Oh,
is there something I don't know about you two?
You think I'm in contact? Yeah, I just reach out to everybody. Donnie,
can you even name the Chinese premier?
Of course he's going to say no. He's going to try to get us off the scent.
I'm going to say no because I have no damn idea.
All right, if I give you his first name, which is Xi, X-I, can you give me his last name? Begins with a J.
Zhang?
No.
Zhang?
No. Jinping. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, because apparently I'm not focused enough on China over here for Mr. I mean, look at this guy.
I'm not trying to turn it into a political show.
Oh, no, definitely not.
You guys...
You just always say it out of nowhere, and it's not out of nowhere.
We got onto the topic of why TikTok was banned, I said because we're trying to figure out what's going on with China. That's all.
Do you think that there are a lot of American companies that have your exact same amount of data and therefore know everything about you that TikTok would?
Probably, but what are they using it for?
To sell you ads, which is pretty much what every company is using your data for.
And what is China using it for?
Probably to sell you ads for stuff on like Temu or Alibaba.
That's what you think.
So do you think China was watching me dance a couple of years ago? Which, by the way, I did my shame bet right after the season ended, for the record.
What if China over there in their server farms, the people may, and were like, this Filipponi, he wants to keep an eye on us, hasn't even done his beer mile yet. Can't be trusted.
Well, no doubt this is getting back to them, what I'm saying right now. I'm going to be under surveillance or watch.
They'd just be like, they probably laugh. You can't believe how bad this guy's tweets are. Like, somebody in there in broken English, Kenny Pickett.
No doubt I'm in the crosshairs.
George Pickens.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.